You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, December 14th, 2023, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. As you can see, we're missing Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson today. I know y'all all look forward. I look forward to it as well. His Thursday installments of the Daily Nationalist with a professional PhD tier geopolitical hot takes. If you listened to Dr. Johnson's Orthodox Nationalist show yesterday on Wednesday, you understand why he's not here with us this week. So it's my pleasure to stand in while he deals with this difficult time. I want to say on behalf of the entire Radio Albion community, I'm going out on a limb here and saying on behalf of all of y'all as well, we do extend our heartfelt sympathies for Dr. Johnson. And in this tough time, you do want to check out his show. It's an excellent show. See, one of the advantages I get of posting these things up is, see, like, I got to listen to the Orthodox Nationalist instead of on Wednesday. I was listening to it on Monday. I had to drive out of town. It's a very excellent show. You want to check it out. And again, if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to do so. And if you have, you do understand why he's not here with us today. So you got to bear with me. You got to put up with me yet one more day. I'm going to reference to, I'm doing something a little different. I think I've done this once or twice before in covering these Daily Nationalist shows. Doing something a little bit different than the normal going through a news article thing this week. I'm referencing, I will read some from both of these articles, just kind of set the tone. But I've got two stories. Both of them pertain to Britain. And both of these stories come from RT. And the first story is headlined, UK to provide Ukraine with Navy ships. With a subheading here, Britain's Ministry of Defense plans to hand over two mine countermeasure vessels as part of a new maritime coalition. Now, as they brag about this, I did a little research into these ships. And it turns out that actually they were planning to scrap these anyway. You know, they make this big show. We're the British Royal Navy shall be providing these mine-sweeping ships to the Ukraine because of our democracy values of who we are. And it turns out that they actually had long-standing plans to decommission these ships. Anyway, this is a good place. That's a good place to unload them. Now, previously, they've been selling these ships, which makes you wonder why they're not doing that now. Perhaps nobody wants them. I do not know. But the fact remains, they are going to provide these ships to the Ukrainian quote-unquote Navy. Not sure how much of a actual Navy the Ukraine has. And you have to wonder, too, the question remains, who's going to operate these ships? Now, I did a little research, and it turns out they've already been trying to train some of these Ukrainians, but who are they training? I mean, all these people, like, are getting killed. Are they training some of the 15-year-olds or grabbing off the street? Maybe some of the old guys, like, that are my age that they've just pressed into service. I mean, who's actually going to be piloting these ships? And my understanding is most of the mines that are a problem are mines that were actually laid down by the Ukraine. Now, again, I said I had two stories, and I want to do them kind of side by side as a comparison. It's all about, you see, it's all about the priorities. The second story, millions of Brits will choose between eating and staying warm this Christmas, according to research, with a subheading of households will be forced to cut spending on presents to afford essentials, according to the UK's national debt line. And as you look at this story, it appears like, much like in America, things are worse than what they're claiming. You know, that you'll read these stories where people are struggling to pay for food, to heat their homes, for basic necessities. and they talk about, oh, well, the economy isn't that bad. It's actually not even in recession. It's not that bad. But then you get into a story such as this, and when you get down to the bottom, you see a little hint that things are much worse. And this applies, I believe, also to the U.S. as well, because you get down in the story and it turns out that people are already papering over how behind they are. People are more and more using credit cards to pay for daily necessities. Look, when you're economically, as an individual person, when you were down to using your credit card to put gas in your car, to pay for food, to pay for your medicines, when you're having to use a credit card, which now with the interest rates being what they are, I'm sure the interest overall is well above 30% APR. When you're down to paying for daily necessities with your credit card, you're already broke. You're just putting it off. You're just delaying it down the road. And the government is just looking the other way. These people put out these government statistics are turning a blind eye to this obvious glaring fact and pretending that, well, things aren't that bad. People are continuing to get by. Now, you have to ask the question, what happens when people can't do that any longer? What happens when the credit card's maxed out? What's happened when they can no longer make those minimum payments? Now, I wanted to use these stories side by side because the entire West, and in today's example, we're using the once Great Britain, the once United Kingdom, as an example, it's all unsustainable. None of this stuff, we're seeing this more and more instability. More and more contradictions building, more and more things that are tearing at an already well-frayed fabric of society. I've said here in the U.S. for years, I've said the only thing keeping this thing together as much as it is the perception. I believe it's very much a false perception on many levels, but the perception of relative economic prosperity. The average American knows that things are bad, but they perceive that we're still better off than people elsewhere in the world, and we're still doing relatively okay. You look around, and it's like, well, people are still getting by, but how many of those people are buying their groceries with a credit card? There is no racial unity here. And again, you can apply this whether you're talking about the UK or the US. There's no common culture. The people, by and large, have abandoned their traditions and the things that once held them together. Christmas, for example, is no longer really a religious holiday. It's something where it's about spending and how much money the retailers are going to make. All of the things that used to give the people some sort of common bond are gone now. And now you're left with, as I say, the perception of relative economic prosperity. And now that too is being torn down. I remember reading sometime back some spokesman for the State Department talking about the Ukraine war. They said something along the lines of, it doesn't matter how well Russia does on the battlefield. What matters is that we control the narrative. And this struck me as so silly. What they're basically saying is it doesn't matter how many wins Russia gets because we can make them look bad in the media. This isn't a serious worldview. Likewise, you see this attitude when it comes to the economies of these countries. Here in the U.S., they have this attitude that it doesn't matter how broke everybody is, as long as we can convince them that overall the economy is doing great. We'll put out another media report. We'll give out some more government statistics that the economy is actually doing good. It's all a major gaslighting operation, of course. The idea is to convince you that everybody else is doing good. And if you're not doing good, well, then you're just stupid. You're just an outlier because everyone else is doing fine. The problem with all these lies is at some point in time, they run face first into reality. It's one thing if you're the one person that's doing bad, but if the reality is that everybody is getting more and more broke, if you live in the UK and you talk to your neighbors or you go to a church or you talk to your coworkers and it turns out everybody is buying their groceries with their credit cards because everybody's broke, it doesn't matter how often the media says, oh, we got great promising GDP numbers. If everybody you know is out of work, it doesn't matter how many times they come out and tell you unemployment is at an all-time low. the lie shows through and it loses its effectiveness. They can keep BSing and saying they control the narrative all they want, but at some point in time, reality raises its ugly head. In the case of what we're looking at today, the UK has thrown billions of dollars at the Ukraine. Now they're giving them ships, which you would think they could sell off for some sort of money. They continue to throw billions at the Ukraine. And you've got people using credit card to buy food. You got people that are struggling just to keep the heater on so they don't freeze to death in their homes. This is not sustainable. Here in the U.S., they're currently having a big argument on all this foreign aid. They all, both of Team R and Team D, they all want to throw billions to Israel. That's not even up for discussion. Ukraine is starting to get squeezed out. You know, Zelensky is not to get off on a tangent, but Zelensky, it's becoming humorous. He likes being treated like a celebrity, like a rock star, making appearances and hailed as some sort of hero. And I see these subtle messages being sent to him now that, you know, it's like wink, wink, hint, hint. It's time to take your suitcases full of cash and go to Israel or go to Miami Beach or wherever one of your villas you've bought with all of this stolen money. You see, the subtle signs are being given to this guy that it's time to wind it down and for you to leave, let somebody else come in, and then they can wind this thing down and say, well, the people want to do something else. And the guy's not taking the hint. I mean, I can see the hints. They're telling him, you know, it's time. They're nudging him. It's time, you know, we want to wrap this up. And the guy won't take the hint. He's over here in the U.S. right now begging for more money, demanding more money. Keeps going out and saying, you can't abandon us. You said you were going to be with us, you know, for as long as it takes. You need us. Well, they don't need him. And he's not taking the hint. And it's going to be interesting because if he continues to not take the hint, the track record is that the U.S. will just simply remove him. If he refuses to take the hint and take his bags of money and leave so that they can move on to the next thing, then he's going to be replaced in, shall we say, a more forceful manner. That's the track record of how the U.S. operates. And the guy's not taking the hint because he wants to keep being a rock star. He wants to keep getting standing ovations and having guest appearances on Hollywood award shows and hailed as a hero and wears green sweatshirt around with I am Ukrainian in English on the front for the English speaking audience. I am Ukrainian. It's not written in Ukrainian. It's for you. The guy won't take the hint. Now, while I can't say that people are necessarily struggling to heat their homes in the U.S., people are getting more and more tight for money. People are getting more and more broke. I talk to real and regular people. I hear about real and regular people. Rents are ridiculous. Young couples are expected to spend $1,700, $1,800 per month for rent. And, you know, at jobs that are paying wages adjusted for inflation are the same amount that they were 30 years ago, 40 years ago, maybe even worse. It's impossible. So you have this same unsustainable dynamic that is taking place. It's the foreign policy version of let them eat cake. Your domestic populations are buying food with their credit card and they can't pay to heat their home. And the UK is still throwing billions and giving away ships and talking about how important it is. It seems like the UK kind of isn't getting the hint here as well. They're kind of like Zelensky. They really want to keep this thing going. Of course, with this Israel thing, obviously Israel is always going to go to the front of the line in anything. If China, we're just going to say, if China were to mass an army on the U.S.-Mexico border and start invading, and the U.S. government had to choose between funding the army to try to stop the Chinese invading or sending that money to Israel, they're going to send the money to Israel. That's not even a joke. They're going to send that money to Israel. You listen to what these politicians in the U.S. say, and they say, as long as the U.S. exists, we will unconditionally support Israel. This is humorous because many of us just a few years ago were called anti-Semites for pointing out who's, you know, who these U.S. politicians are beholden to. And now it's out there on display for everybody to see. People just a few years ago who attacked folks such as you and I and called us evil anti-Semites are now they themselves being called evil anti-Semites. The U.S. government, just Congress, just recently passed a non-binding resolution, which means it doesn't have an actual legal effect, but a just an announcement. It's like a pronouncement from your overlords that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitism. You can't criticize and be against Israel without being an anti-Semite. I don't know exactly how that's supposed to work for the Jews that are actually critical of Israel and Israeli policy. Not sure how that works yet, but it doesn't matter. When you have a situation where your domestic population is losing any idea of a perceived economic prosperity, and the governments of these countries, be it the UK or the US, aren't getting the message. They're like Zelensky. They're not seeing the handwriting on the wall. They're still talking about throwing billions over here and billions over here and billions over there, and nobody can afford anything. Everybody's getting more and more broke. The roads here, I can tell you, the roads here, I was talking about infrastructure in the US, the roads here are third world tier. They're horrible. I'm telling you, you will go down the roads. You will go down roads here in the U.S. and watch the cars in front of you. And when you see them zip to the right, you zip to the right behind them. It's not because they're dodging something in the road. They're dodging giant potholes or places where the pavement, because the contractors didn't do it right, it's buckled underneath and there's a huge hump. They're like a 12 inch high hump in the road, and people are zigging around because if you hit these things, they bang the front end of your car. The domestic populations are losing that perception of relative economic prosperity. That lie is going away. While at the same time, your governments, again, be it in the US or the UK, because this overlaps here, are saying we're gonna send more billions. The big debate here, like I say, in the US is there over the Ukraine money. Both parties want to send unlimited money to Israel. The Republicans are trying to make some sort of pseudo stand because elections are coming up for, you know, we want more money for the border, which is just ridiculous. I've been through so many of those debates over the years. I've seen this, and they'll allocate money for the border and nothing changes at the border. That's stupid. Nobody should even believe that's actually going to take place. But at the end of the day, they're not talking. We're going to send billions to these other countries. That's not even up for debate. They're just going back and forth about, you know, if Ukraine is going to be the odd man out or not. But at some point in time, the domestic populations, whether it be in the UK or the US or any of these other Western countries, they realize that every single time it is they're the odd man out. Zelensky's got a better chance of getting some money, even still at this point, than the domestic population of the U.S. or the domestic population of the U.K. You look at the handwriting on the wall, and at some point in time, something has got to give. Now, if you're familiar at all with history, you look back and you realize that things stay the same until they don't. Usually what happens is things rock along and it seems like, well, it's not really, you know, people are just kind of in their routine and nothing's going to change. And then some little thing happens and it snowballs. And all of a sudden, it's like the old saying, you know, how did you go broke? Very slowly and then very quickly. You're going along and very slowly things are degrading. And we're seeing that now in the West. Things are degrading. They're going downhill. People's standards of living are getting worse and worse. The domestic populations of these countries are getting more and more discontented. And there's all of these warning signs, and these governments are ignoring them. And it goes along, and it seems like, well, yeah, people are unhappy. Yeah, there's discontent. Yeah, crime is worse. We have homeless people all over the sidewalks in the U.S. The roads are almost untravelable. You got everything getting worse and worse, but things are going to stay the same until they don't. And then when they start spiraling downhill, they things blow up. That's what history looks like. They go along until suddenly they don't go along, and then everything unravels, and it unravels very, very quickly. Now, this leaves one to wonder, why don't any of these people in the government look at this and say, hey, we need to do, you know, something different? They've all been to places like Harvard. They've all been to places like Yale or the equivalent in the UK. So surely they're smart, right? Well, no, they go to those schools because of nepotism. They get these jobs because they say the right thing. See, this circles back to that idea they have in their head that it doesn't matter what reality is. What matters is what we say, that we control the narrative. So they don't get hired. People that speak reality don't get these jobs. If you go in there and you regurgitate what you're supposed to say and what they want to hear, and the people that are already in power, what they want to hear, if you regurgitate the right things, you're going to get that job. If you're somebody that somehow manages to get an interview in a government position and you go in there and you say, yeah, this whole thing we're doing is unsustainable. We need to get in front of it right now before this whole thing burns up. Because you know what? At the end of the day, every government should always remember that there's a whole lot more of the people than there are of them. I remember here a while back, Biden said some ridiculous thing about, you want to overturn the government? Guns don't do you any good. You got to have F-16s. You got to have nuclear weapons. This is an attitude where they have forgotten that there's way more of the people than there are of them. It's not about, and they think because they control the censorship, that way the people can't organize. Look, if the people just get fed up enough and quit cooperating, that's the beginning of it. Just each person individually says, I'm not going along with this any longer. If that snowballs into the people march on your compound, there's always going to be more of them than you've got guys with guns to protect you. And this isn't a threat. This is just stating that this is the numerical thing, the numerical way that things work. If you had people of intelligence running things, they would look at this and realize it and say, we need to get in front of this, but they're not. They continue to have this notion that if we have a good enough line of bullshit, that we can convince everybody to just believe us and not the reality that they're living in. I don't care how much security you've got, if millions of people show up on your doorstep, on the steps of your government buildings, your security guys are going to haul ass. They're going to stand there and face down millions of people. You can do turn the military loose on them. The military is going to shoot at their own relatives, their own aunts, uncles, kinfolk. Wouldn't be willing to bet on that. The point is, they have forgotten all of this. And they have this idea that they can just keep going along just as things are. There's nobody there smart enough to say, we're getting into troubled water here, so we better get in front of this right now. We can't keep throwing billions of dollars overseas to other countries. We can't keep throwing money around. And then the corruption now is so in everybody's faces, they realize how all of this is working while these millions and millions of people are getting more and more broke. They're using the credit cards. Using credit cards to buy groceries. They can't afford to heat their homes. This isn't going to go on. In places such as the UK and in Germany, they've spent years importing people from the Middle East, all of these Muslims, into their countries. They've spent years doing this to essentially replace. I mean, there's no other explanation. They're replacing their domestic, what was their once domestic population, with a different people. You can argue why they're doing that, but there's no other reason they would do that. That's obviously what they're doing and what they have been doing. But now that has run into the face of this public pronouncement, this undying support for Israel, and all of the Middle Eastern Muslims they've imported aren't very happy about that. It's unsustainable. They have all of these different little agendas, and now they're all running into each other. There's contradictions, and they're building, and there's more and more tension, and they're going to have to try to bully. Now they've got to try to use the same tactics. And I read a story recently where the UK is doing this. They were coming out and saying, well, we're going to crack down on any pro-Palestinian protesters because that's anti-Semitism, and we could file hate crime charges against them, make them lose their job, and put them in prison. So in other words, now they're going to be forced to turn around and use the same tactics that they used on the white Britons on the Middle Eastern peoples. And they're gambling that will be just as successful. I think that's a pretty big gamble. I don't think these people are as whipped down as the domestic white populations of these different countries in the West. I remember there was a story a couple years ago. In fact, I believe Sven and I did a Daily Nationalist show on it. And off the top of my head, I don't remember. I think it was in France, but it might have been in Britain. Anyway, long story short, some teacher, in a school filled with Muslims, started doing, we're doing a class about free speech and we're going to start talking about Muhammad, knowing it's going to piss these people off. Now, the excuse was, well, this is the, obviously run into criticism. And he's like, well, this is the curriculum they've told me to teach. So they continued to push this and it angered the community. And the guy wound up getting his head cut off. Now, there was an outcry about our values of free speech and a democracy of who we are, and we're not going to bow to the terrorists. And they arrested the guys that were involved in cutting the guy's head off. And they talked about how, well, we have free speech and these people need to understand we have free speech and so on and so forth. And we're not bow to these threats. And this is the curriculum. He was just teaching the curriculum. And it's so ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. But you know what? Ain't no other teacher's been doing that. They can say the curriculum and we're not going to give in and all of that, all they want to. But you know what? No other teacher stood up and taught the curriculum after that. I'm not condoning them cutting the teacher's head off. But what I am doing is highlighting the fact that they're gambling that the same tactics that worked against the native white population will work against these people. The native white population obviously wasn't going to go cut some guy's head off. They got kowtowed with, we'll call you a mean, racist, evil person, and we'll convict you of a hate crime and put you in prison. Well, a people that they have elements in their population that believe in their convictions to the point that they'll go cut somebody's head off and face a murder conviction and go to prison, and they're not afraid of that. In order to make you stop doing that, and it was successful, by the way. Like I said, no other teacher, that didn't matter what the curriculum is. You put yourself in a teacher's shoes. The curriculum is, we're not bowing to this. You get in there and teach these Muslims and about mocking Muhammad, you're going to be like, this job ain't worth losing my head over. This is what non-cooperation looks like. Even their own employees, the teachers, said, I'm not cooperating with this because it could cost me my life. And as an end result, with regardless of all their rhetoric about, oh, well, we're going to stand with free speech and we will not be bullied into being told we can't mock Muhammad, they quit mocking Muhammad. The point, again, I'm getting to here is this gamble that these people are going to buckle under the same tactics that worked on the native population. I don't think that's a very good gamble. And I think it's borne out by the evidence. Now, getting back to what we've referenced here today, if the native British population are struggling to heat their homes, the domestic population, I shouldn't say native, if the domestic British population is struggling to heat their homes, and as part of the domestic British population, you're including a significant portion of that being Middle Eastern Muslims, and now you're throwing the fire on this of the government declaring everybody has to support Israel with what they're doing to the Palestinians in Gaza, which is inexcusable by any sane metric. And you keep putting all of these factors together. I mean, if you were intentionally trying to blow up the country, I don't know what else you would be doing any different. And paraphrase the saying, that which can't go on won't go on. That which is unsustainable will not be sustained. You look at all of these inherent contradictions in the UK, in the US, Germany, France, all of these Western democracy countries. If you look at all of these contradictions which are coming to the surface, and you look at events as they continue to unfold, it's not sustainable. If we continue on this trajectory in the West that we're on, what's 10 years from now look like? I don't see a 10 years from now. I don't see it lasting that long. I think 5 years is a stretch. And there's no sign of anybody putting the brakes on any of this. There's no sign of anybody, any grown-ups in the room saying, this is getting out of control. We can't continue to do things like this. It's not sustainable. And if it's not sustainable, it's not going to continue. If that which can't be continued will not continue, it's just not going to keep going on like this because it simply can't. You can't have a situation where you're going to blindly support some country that you know and that the people know the Ukraine doesn't have anything to do with Britain. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Only the lowest tier moron thinks that, you know, if Ukraine falls, it means that, you know, Putin's going to invade Britain. That's just stupid. Nobody actually believes that. How long are you going to be able to continue to demand the people suffer while you throw billions into this money pit so that some of it gets laundered back and put into your pocket while the people struggle even to eat, while the people are sitting in the cold because they can't heat their homes? We'll wrap up on that note. I hope you, again, thank you all for bearing with me. I know you all look forward to the Thursday edition with Dr. Johnson. You know, I do too. I know where you're coming from. But thank you for tuning in and bearing with me today. I hope you got something out of today's show. I'll be back to wrap up your week tomorrow. As always, keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.